CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Gregory, the fog of war is complete over eastern Ukraine. The events in these last hours, though, of significance are political diplomatic. For example, three prime ministers from Eastern Europe, Slovenia, Czechia, and Poland, have visited President Zelensky in Kiev, which is under siege but not completely encircled. President Zelensky has made announcements on video that he does not believe Ukraine will ever be a member of NATO. That appears to be a negotiating position in some fashion, because there are on-again, off-again diplomatic exchanges between Russia and Ukraine. When last we spoke, you saw that China was moving effectively to seal its friendship with Russia in this conflict, which will continue after the conflict is resolved by the diplomats. Since we spoke, China has been accused of transferring or thinking of transferring drones and MREs to Russia. Also, China is said to be looking at assets in Russia to invest in, although that is also unclear. How do you measure right now China's advantage or disadvantage in the fog of war in Ukraine as the war continues and the Russian forces are slow?
Well, John, as I said, I think that last week we discussed this, and I said that that the war in Ukraine saved the People's Republic of China and the Communist Party of China, because it locked Russia into a marriage of not only convenience, but with formal slave papers, if you like. They're locked together now for the foreseeable future within this new semi-Cold War type of bloc between the West and the Eurasian powers of Russia and the PRC and Iran. So this saves the Communist Party of China, because they now know that somebody is going to be there to provide them with food and with energy at a time when the economy of the People's Republic of China is imploding and going into a closed internal circulation economy. So yes, they're going to use what money they have to buy up bargain basement assets in Moscow. But the strategic leader of this bloc for the time being is Russia, because it is in control of providing the food and energy which China will need. So, yes, this is going to work out very well. China does not want to precipitate any further global hostility, but it will supply Russia with whatever it needs militarily. The reality is that Russia did not expect this exchange over Ukraine to last this long or to involve a full-scale war. So this is the evidence that they hadn't planned for this at this level. Is evident in the way they went in, and the fact that they're now looking to source weapons and support from China. The PRC would probably provide some of its fairly good medium altitude, long endurance drones, UAVs, called the Wing Long series of UAVs. So that will probably is probably occurring already. The fact is that the big strategic integration is within the economies of Russia and the People's Republic of China, and that will only increase as Russia becomes more isolated and as we see these new blocs trading with the world. And the Chinese currency is weak. The Russian currency is temporarily weak, hence these bargain basement opportunities for investors. But Russia has probably the greatest amount of gold reserves of any country in the world, a relatively low level of international debt. So ultimately, the ruble is going to be a very strong international currency, and this is going to put Russia into a very strong position. Now, with regard to President Zelensky, had he made this comment about not joining NATO, or framed it in some way that it was never going to happen, and had he done that on January the 26th or so, just after President Biden said that he would not come to Ukraine's aid, had Zelensky made this statement that he made today, in late January, we would not have had a Russian invasion of Ukraine. it shows that he is now being forced into a compromise position. He's now starting to think about what will happen. Either the country gets destroyed and he gets destroyed with it, or he finds some position of quasi-neutrality to enable Ukraine to have an existence which is economically viable, but without some of the rump of eastern Ukraine, as it was the Donbass region, areas up the Sea of Azov and the like. So he's now looking for a solution. That is a sign that he is aware that Russia is not about to be stopped in its war, despite the fact that Russia is taking a lot of punishment for doing what it's doing. But the reality is that Russia has yet to escalate to a full combat situation.
I want to concentrate on the two thrones. Does Beijing, does Xi, do they consider Putin necessary? Or is the acquisition of Russia as a source of food and energy possible without Putin? We have about a minute.
No, it's not possible without Putin at this stage, because you don't have a coherent successor in place. You could argue that Medvedev could be a caretaker leader in the event that President Putin was removed, but it's unlikely. Russia needs and wants a strong leader. Even when they don't like the strong leader, they intrinsically know they need it.
Does she need Putin? She, because yes. He's running for the third term. Is Putin yes. necessary for him to win the third term with his party?
Absolutely. She does not want any change in the Russian leadership at this stage. He doesn't want to enter a major confrontation with anyone else at this stage. That's why he's being cautious about how he's supporting Russia. But she needs stability to get through the October party Congress.
Does it suit Beijing to have this hostility end in some kind of unfinished business? In other words, both sides stand down. Does that suit Beijing sooner or later?
I think in the next couple of months, they would want to see some kind of resolution. They, I think, would be happy if that resolution included a return of the world to that bipolar status,
right,
in which the Russian-Chinese combine would remain intact.
Fog of war in Kiev. The conversations continue by the diplomats. All wars come to diplomacy, and we're headed that way eventually. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.